putting the precious word of God. Amen.
Oh, yeah. How's this light turn on? I don't know. I'm from Maryland. And when we went traveling and everything, especially up in Lancaster, the only thing I ever smelled was fertilizer. So it's the truth. Going home, 1,500 miles straight up. Wasn't it? 1,500? And then 1,500 miles either way. Used to be you get the King James Bible and you said you're going to get a mansion. And then they reduced it to a room. And now I'm finding out that we're going to get acreage. You know, we're going to get some land and everything. So it's something all the time. But
amen.
I'm looking forward to it. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but they don't want to die to get there. So it's true. Well, I guess we better get started. Remember Lot's wife. Let me say it again. Remember Lot's wife. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, be with me tonight during this service. Lord, I pray that your word will be well received,
amen.
That the Holy Spirit would allow hearts and minds to be open and receptive to the preaching. Father, give me clarity of thought as I preach thy word, that all that is said may be for our good and your glory, and his precious son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Remember Lot's wife. Tonight our text will be from, Luke 17, and then go into Genesis 13 and 18, and finally end up in Genesis 19. So we're going to be moving around a little bit because, we will explain. A word of warning. There will be some material that some might find a little bit delicate. Everybody's perking their ears up. But it's important that that the whole counsel of God be preached. I would ask listen carefully. It's in the Bible. And it's amazing how many things that are in the Bible we don't talk about anymore. And you start thinking about these things when you're getting ready to preach. And when you start eliminating things, after a while, you won't be preaching nothing. You just don't. You know, you just, can't do that. We got to preach the whole book. And maybe if we did that more, things wouldn't be the way they are. But they are. Well, I asked if anyone wants me to speak louder, please raise your hand, and I will do my best to accommodate you. I remember I preached once somewhere, and there was older people there, and it was up, like you would stand down front, and all of a sudden you hear the person say, "I can't hear." So then I would get a little closer down the middle, and then they go, "It's too loud!" So you just can't win for losing, okay? Well, I'm going to go to Luke 17, 26 to 32, only I'm not going to go for all those verses. I'm just going to be centering on just one verse, and that's verse 32. It's about, it says, remember Lot's wife. What do we know about this lady who didn't have a first name? But it's not about her life we're going to be talking about. It's actually her death. Actually, we know more about her husband, Lot, than her. Now, I know the Bible says that Lot was a righteous man. I know that. A lot of righteous men in the Bible. But just like us, we're saved, but we're saved sinners. And you can go through the Bible, and it's just one after another after another. And just because we know Christ, it doesn't mean that we sin. And Lot certainly did a lot of it. And that's what we're going to talk about, even to the extent that the responsibility that he had as a husband, maybe if he would have did that a little bit differently, things wouldn't have turned out the way they did. I don't understand Lot. I really don't. I'll get into that. You see, Abraham was Lot's uncle. I will talk more about him a little later. But this lady, Lot's wife, had two angels who warned her and her family of Sodom and Gomorrah's coming destruction. Angels had to take her by the hand, by the arm, with her husband and two daughters in order to get them out of Sodom. They were getting out of Sodom, but Sodom was still in them. Where did she perish? Well, she didn't perish in Sodom. She was out of Sodom. She was all right. She was almost saved, but in the end, she was lost. How many people will this happen to in this country? Almost saved, but it was too late. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." It was also sudden and instant when this thing happened to her. Just like that. She just took a little quick look. And boom, it was all over. 1 Corinthians 5:15, 52 says, "In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye." And I remember you saying about that. It's more just going like this. It's quicker than that. Remember, it was Jesus himself who said, "Remember Lot's wife." He didn't say, "Remember Adam's wife, Eve." He didn't say, "Remember Abraham's wife, Sarah." He said, "Remember Lot's wife." Just three words next to the shortest verse of the Bible. Jesus wept, John 11:35. Why did Jesus say, "Remember Lot's wife"? I believe he was talking about the coming judgment. There's a lot of speculation about a lot of things. You know, if we just got up from the pulpit and just read the Bible without any comments, well, you can do that at home. So there's going to be things that one person's going to think one way, another one's going to think another. And as long as you don't get out of line with it and you stick to the book, which, quite frankly, we don't do, I think you're on good ground. I remember when I was in seminary, the professor there saying, you know, I know he critiqued you when you did your sermons. And he says, this one fellow, he says, "I know what you preached on was really good, and it's somewhere in the Bible. It's not anywhere in the text that you said you were going to be preaching on." And I'm afraid that happens a lot. I pray that doesn't happen tonight. Well, let's go on. We will now be going to Genesis 13, 5 through 13. Now, Lot was there. He's with Abram. And they have the flocks and the herds. But the land could not support them. The herdsmen, they argue, they battle back and forth because they just couldn't get along. There wasn't enough room there for them to take care of what they had. So in verse 8, Abram said to Lot, we're quarreling between you and me. We're family. Can't do that. So he says to him, "You go to the left, and I'll go to the right. You go to the right, and I'll go to the left." Can't get any better than that. In other words, you can do whatever you want. I'll take the worst. You take the best. And Lot thought he did. Lot looked around, in verse 10, and he saw the whole plain of Jordan toward Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This is before anything happened. And it says, and Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near, guess where? Sodom. And it says in verse 13, now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. Glad we don't have anything like that in our country, aren't you? It's just here. Well, I did warn you, by the way, right there at the beginning, that we're going to be talking about some delicate situations. It's in the book. I'm afraid we kind of avoid those things. There's some preachers out there, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be happy Christians. We shouldn't smile. I have problems with Christians that don't smile. I wrote a gospel tract one time and said, "Do grumpy Christians go to heaven or hell?" Well, grumpy Christians, if they truly got saved, are going to heaven. Here's the catch. When they get there, they'll have nothing to lay at our Savior's feet for a crown. Not a thing. In addition to that, they've kept a lot of people from coming to church. Because when you get there, you see a grumpy Christian, don't know how to smile, and say, "Why in the world I want to go to that church? I don't want nothing to do with it. I'll find some other place to go." We don't want to be grumpy Christians. No, that's another sermon, by the way. So Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, and righteous Lot was getting further and further away from the Lord. Lot traded his tents in for a townhouse in Sodom. It's not like Lot didn't know what he was getting into. Lot was getting into Sodom, and Sodom was getting into Lot. He was taking his whole family with him. Well, think about that. Men, when you do things, your wife and your children are going to follow you. They're going to have to go. They're there. They're with you. And you're in charge. And you have to be an example to them. You just do. Because whatever you go with, they're going to have to go also. They got to go that way. Think about that. It's a big responsibility. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'll say that a little bit later again, because I think it's a good verse. We will now be going to Genesis 18, 22 through 33. Sometime God goes, and God comes to Abraham, I suppose because he was older and wiser. But I think it was more to that. I suggest that God goes to Abraham, not just because of that, but because Abraham was outside of Sodom and not inside with the people that were doing all the sinning. I suggest that maybe, just maybe, Lot had gotten to the point where he had become conformed to the darkness. In other words, sin just didn't bother him. You see what I mean about becoming conformed to the darkness? Bernie Murray told me about that. He came to our house and stayed with us. And he says, Earl, you know, I got to tell you this. As Christians, we've gotten to the point where we have become conformed to the darkness. In other words, we see things that are wrong, but we pretend they're not there. When people use the Lord's name in vain, it doesn't mean anything. Matter of fact, a lot of Christians use the Lord's name in vain, and it doesn't mean anything to them. We watch television, we don't hear the things that are said wrong. We see things that are wrong, we pretend it's not there. But it is. We've become conformed to darkness. And we do that with a lot of things. We just do. Anyway, God tells Abraham that he sees Sodom and Gomorrah was wicked, and he was going to destroy it. And Abraham begins to plead with God for Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's quite a plea, quite frankly. In all fairness, he kind of goes wild with that. He just does. We'll talk about it, okay? In verse 23, he talks about how it was wicked and he was going to destroy it. And Abraham's going back and forth. Well, you don't want to do that. He's pleading. Don't do it. In verse 26, Abraham pleads with God not to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if he could find 50 righteous men. That's number one. First time. Okay, we can accept that. And the Lord said, well, he wouldn't. So he didn't. Okay. Now we go down to verse 28. Abraham, again, pleads with him that he would not destroy Sodom. And again, God says, all right, I won't destroy it. That's number two. Now we go on. Go into verse 28. And again, wilt thou not destroy all the city for lack of five? And it always takes the five away from the 50, and now we're down to 45. That's three. Three times now he's mentioned this. What do you think he's talking to? He's talking to the King of Kings, the Lord. Sometimes we lose sight of that. I don't know how, you pray the way you want to pray, but he's God. He's not one of the good old boys. We have to have this reverential fear of him, not scared of him, he's going to hurt us, but we got to love him, and then we got to respect him, and we got to talk to him like that. By the way, he's got to look at us like we're supposed to be. That's another sermon too. Okay, so anyway, he does this, and he pleads, he gets it down to 40, and God says, okay. Now he comes down, and it's 30. And he continues to barter with God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's treating him like he's out at a flea market. Is Abraham out of his mind? He says, oh, let not the Lord be angry. Let not the Lord be angry. Are you crazy? You know what you're talking to? Let not the Lord be angry. Who is he pleading for? By the way, He wasn't pleading for Lot. He wasn't pleading for his family. He's pleading for these people in Sodom and Gomorrah, these sinners. And yet he's saying, let not the Lord be angry. And, I'm waiting for him to get hit by lightning. Didn't happen. Abraham is doing this for sinners. And I wonder if we would have that much guts ourselves in terms of praying to God. Are we all that concerned about sinners? I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I'm, you know, God says you love the Lord with all thy heart and all thy soul, and love thy neighbor. Well, I can pray for Pastor Lily. I can pray for the deacons. But don't ask me to pray for the guy on the other side of the aisle. He might lift his hands too many times. He doesn't pray the way I pray. He doesn't look the way I look. I want my sinners, or even fellow Christians, to look the way I want them to look. And if they're not, well, I don't know. Well, God doesn't look at it that way, by the way. Sin is sin. And he died for all. Look it up. All means all, and that's all it means. It's all, it's everybody. Now we go to verse 31. Abraham keeps on. He don't know when to quit. He says to God, he's bartering again. Well, would you not destroy him for 20? God is patient. He really is, but he's kind of wearing him out. This is number 5. Yeah, all right. Lord says, oh, for 20. And then finally, in verse 32, now, this is number 6 he comes to, and Abraham goes back, and he says, one last time, he says, oh, let not the Lord be angry. Didn't he say it before? And he's saying it again. You know, I don't know about you, but I've gone to flea markets. Everybody likes to barter. But you don't go to the guy, and he says, okay, how much is that? I said, well, will you take $10, you can get your money out. And, wait a minute. How about 9? Oh, well, wait a minute. Here, how about 8? Well, okay, 8. Well, how about 5? Oh, I don't know. How about 6? Somewhere down the line, you're going to get a punch in the mouth. I mean, you've got to know when to quit. Well, Abraham, he didn't know when to quit, but he had a concern for the lost. My question to you tonight is, do you have a burden for the lost? Do I have a burden for the lost? Or have we lost our burden? Are we all that concerned about telling the Lord Jesus Christ, the people out there, about Christ? Put your hand in your pocket, pull out a gospel track. The neatest track we have out there, in my opinion, is how to get to heaven from Georgia. Walk up to them. Where do you live? I live in Alabama. Well, you're going to have to move. Here's the track. You know, it's as simple as that. And I walk away. And it works. Believe it or not, they love that. Anyway, let me go on. He says, oh, Lord, do not be angry. And finally, the Lord says, all right, he'll save them for 10. Now, remember, all Abraham had to do is, I got my family there, my Lot and his family. Could you just move them out? He didn't have to say anything about them. And to be frank with you, and I'm ashamed to tell you this, but I got to be up front. I would have said, let them burn. You know, get my family out of there. But as far as they're concerned, Lord, they deserve it. Does anybody really deserve to go to hell? Let's get serious. Have we thought about what hell is all about? There's a reason why the Bible, God's book, says more about hell than it does heaven. He doesn't want anybody to go there. But I got news for you. People are going to go there. And I suspect a lot of the reasons they're going there is maybe we're not doing our job. We don't save anybody. Our job is just to catch them. Holy Spirit cleans them. All we got to do is go up to them, give them a track, and move on. Or say a few words. You don't even have to do that. Let them see Jesus in us. That's all. And don't be afraid to smile. Don't be a grumpy Christian. How many grumpy Christians are there out there? You come to them, oh, well, I don't know. I'm above ground. Okay, well, good for you. Finally, in Genesis 19, 1 through 29, and this is the last part, angels are there, and now Lot is there at the gate in Sodom. And they get there, and he basically tells them they're not safe. Well, he knew what was going on there. He knew they weren't safe. He says, come on home with me, and I'll give you hospitality, and you'll be safe here. So he talks them into it, and they want to see him anyway. So he goes. Verse 5 makes it would, you know, I debated about this one. But this is in the Bible. I'll just read it. I'm not going to make no comments. No, you don't know me. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out. And then you know what next thing he says. This makes you sick. It should make you sick. Glad we don't have it in our country. Or do we? It's just as bad. And unless you have are conformed to the darkness, you know, you ought to be able to see that. In verse 8, Lot offers up his two daughters. Now, that one really drives me wild. They're there, and they're pleading for these angels to come out. Oh, we don't have anything like that, do we? Or do we? We're sending our kids to school, and they're talking little boys into being girls, and talking little girls into being boys. I mean, come on. Let's face it, I love our country. But anymore, our country is not the godly country that it's supposed to be. It's going down the drain. You know, we're looking at Sodom. We better start looking at ourselves. We need to send missionaries here. So anyway, he has his two daughters. He offers them up. And, well, you know, you can read this. Bring them out and do to them as good as in your eyes. So, I'm not going to go any further. That's it. So he's doing that. And now we'll go to verse 11. They're banging on the door. They're outside. Lot tries to go out to him, barter with him. He's going to give him his daughters, crazy Lot. You believe that? Not going to go there. But the angels, they didn't want no parts of it. So they blind him. Well, you think that would have been enough. What are they doing? They're blind and they're going around trying to find a doorknob. That's sin at its worst. Luckily, we only have alternative lifestyles in our country. Nothing like that. Well, why did he go to Sodom in the first place? What was he doing there? And he had to know all this was going on. What does it take to get Lot out of there and his family? In verse 13, the angels made it clear that Lot and his family had to leave Sodom, and now Lot should have been able to figure this out. So they tell him, well, get all your son-in-laws. He goes to them. Well, you figure, Lot's been witnessing to them and everything. He's a righteous man. They'll understand. They know what's going on. No, they laughed at him. They called. Can you believe that? Oh, this righteous man didn't have the influence that he should have. He just wasn't. He just wasn't. So anyway, he goes on. And Lot went out and he spoke to his son-in-laws, and that didn't go well. And now we're in the verse 15. Now listen to this. Lot says, Lot lingered, and he and his wife and his daughters had to be taken out by the hand. They're grabbing his hand, pulling him out, and he's lingering. Is he crazy? His daughters? His wife? You know, we're looking at Lot's wife. Look at his family. Look at Lot. You know, I'm not going to rewrite the Bible. You know, we're not supposed to take it away, and we're not supposed to add anything to it. But for crying out loud, maybe it should be not Lot's wife, but maybe Lot's life. He just wasn't what he should have been. He just wasn't. It's a shame. And he has to take some of the blame for what happened to his wife. I really believe that, don't you? I mean, I'll go on. And the angel told him, he told them not to look back after they had pulled him out, by the way. And they were told to escape to the mountain. That's what he said. Get out of here. Now go to the mountain. What did crazy Lot say? Take me to another city. He still didn't learn his lesson. Don't take me to the mountain. No. Take me to another city. He had become conformed to the darkness. He didn't have a problem with it. In verse 20, Lot didn't get it. He was escaping from one city, and he wanted to go to another one. Can you imagine that? He just didn't know when to quit. And in verse 26, Lot's wife looked back. Lot's wife had conformed to the darkness. She refused to call sin sin. That's exactly right. Well, why not? No one gets robbed anymore. You're getting mugged. We're not the word we talk for homosexuals. You know, we're just an alternate lifestyle. Go down the line of different things that we have changed just by our wording. You know, we really have. It's a shame. You see, you don't play in dirt without getting dirty. The Bible, as I've said, talks more about heaven than hell for a reason. I believe even if it says Lot was a righteous man, he had a lot to do with his wife being turned to salt. And he wasn't the greatest father either. The Father's Day, I don't send him anything. Just wouldn't. Now in verse 29, God remembered Abraham. It says God remembered Abraham. Think about that. He didn't say remember Lot. He remembered Abraham because Abraham was where he was supposed to be and Lot was not. Think about that. Again, the Bible says in John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Lot should have never gone into Sodom, and Sodom would not have gone into Lot and his whole family. His wife would have not looked back. Be careful where you pitch your tent. I'll finish with this. Remember Lot's wife. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, the scripture thus record. But as he looked to Sodom, his eyes turned from the Lord. It was just an idle glance at first, but then a searching eye. He turned away and glanced again, and finally, by and by, he moved his home to Sodom, a natural move to make, forgetting that where a man goes, he must his family take. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. The rest is history. Oh, dear God. Had he not faced that way, how different things would be. He pitched to his tent towards Sodom and never realized his very vision of his God was fading from his eyes. Check out which way your tent is pitched. It's not too late to find. You can still pitch your life towards God and leave the world behind. I'll say it again. You can still pitch your life toward God and leave the world behind. Friends, oh please, don't look back. People like to say the good old days. Well, I maintain that they're nothing compared to what we're going to have when we go to glory. 1,500 miles up in the air. 100 miles either way. No sin. No tears. No disease. And you're telling me you're going to go back? Don't look back. Look forward. Look forward to being with Christ. That's what it's all about. Please press on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Remember Lot's wife.
Amen. Our people said amen. Yes. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that so very, very, very much. And stuck with the book, didn't he? That's what you're supposed to. Thank you very much. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to help the ladies. If you'll just come down here, one of you ladies read the prayer list. And we'll go back here with the men and read the prayer list, and then we'll divide up into prayer groups. And so let's do that right now at this time. So those that were watching, you may thank you for watching, and God bless you. And we look forward to seeing you on this Sunday.